15. And, you know, there are a lot of chapters in the scriptures that have an abundance of teaching, abundance of points and things that are there. Go ahead and stand. That's fine. And John 15 is one of those chapters that just has lots of stuff in it. But I want you to focus on one word that is repeated in John 15, at least in the passage that we're going to read here. Now, you know from the beginning of the chapter, the vine, the branches, fruit, much fruit, more fruit. That's pretty repetitive there. This is the middle of the chapter, verse 13, 14, and 15. And I'll just tell you the word I want you to focus on, okay? Friends. And when we come to that word friends, I'll read. And when we come to the word friends, you read it with me. Just that word, okay? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his
friends.
Ye are my
friends
if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you
friends,
for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Praise God. Now, again, remember who's saying this. He is Messiah. He is Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And we can go on and name all of the aspects and names and ministries of the Lord, but just keep in mind, he's calling you friend. Praise God. That's amazing, isn't it? Now, on our guest cards, you know, the guest cards that the ladies are careful to have our guests fill out. By the way, those blue pens, the real pretty blue pens, those are for guests to fill out the guest card, and they get to take that pen home. Okay, that's the way it's supposed to work, as well as a gift bag. So, here's what I want to say. On those cards, there's lots of different comments. You know, they'll do a prayer request, they're interested in Bible study, but almost always they'll say a very friendly welcome, a very friendly church. One just recently said, pleasantness all around. I thought that was pretty unique. Praise God. So we thank the Lord for a friendly church. Let's just prove that right now and go ahead and mingle here just for a few minutes and shake hands with everybody. Praise God. We're not afraid of COVID. We rebuke it in Jesus' name. So go ahead and greet everybody. Praise God. And thank the Lord for the opportunity to come together in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't leave anybody out. Be friendly. Praise God. And see what being a friend is like. Praise God. We're glad for the opportunity to be friends. Amen. Thank the Lord. Now, some of you aren't following directions. Don't leave anybody out. That's right. Those little ones getting a greeting as well. That's good. Praise God. All right, you got everybody. Praise the Lord. Looks like we just about got it done. You can be seated. Pleasantness all around. That's nice. Now, the definition of a friend, you know, I could take time to get your definition, but I think we better be cognizant of the time. A friend, you can be seated. A friend is one who is attached to another by affection or esteem. This is the dictionary definition of a friend now. An acquaintance, one not hostile. That's good, huh? Hospitable, not hostile. And then Brother Farmer and deals with this. A member of a group that stress inner light. They reject ostentation, which is show, and they reject outward rights. They have an ordained ministry, and they oppose war. That's the friends. And they're pretty much the dominant denomination in the Kotzebue area, northwest area. But praise God, they're receiving the truth. Amen. Now, the Lord making the statement, I have called you friends. We usually operate on the level of human friendship. We need to keep in mind the divine. I have called you friends. Now, how many have stayed in a friendship that is one way? We don't, do we? We expect friendship to be two ways. I think the Lord does too. We expect it to be one way. Come on, Lord. Keep blessing, keep providing, keep healing, keep ministering. We've got to remember it goes both ways. And not just bringing our laundry list to Him or our Christmas shopping list and the celestial Santa Claus is going to take care of you. No, He's called you friend. And so that, can we use the word responsibility? Is there to operate in a friendship? You have the responsibility to respond to the Lord as a friend. Now, both Greek and Hebrew has meanings for friend. In Greek, it means to be loved, to be dear. In Hebrew, it means to have affection for. And so those still hold true to the dictionary definitions that we used. And the scripture helps us in Proverbs 18 and 24. These are well-known passages concerning friendship. Proverbs 18 and 24, to show yourself friendly. A man who has friends must himself be friendly, the Bible says. That's good advice, isn't it? And we thank God for the friend that sticks closer than a brother. Here's a little poem that I think fits very well. I went out to find a friend, and there was no one there. I went out to be a friend, and friends were everywhere. Perspective changes to recognize I have to be a friend in order to have a friend. Praise God. And the friend that sticks closer than a brother, of course, is very important. Now, here's a key for why a megachurch continues to grow, continues to explode. Obviously, if we had, you know, we have, let's say we have 20 people here tonight. If we had 40 people here, 60 people here, there would be an increase in the sphere of influence, the contacts that you have, the relationships that you have. So that would be, what is that, three times as much the influence as would originate or would be here with this group. If we had 60, it would be that many more. That's why a megachurch continues to grow, because they aren't quiet about it. They reach out. Now, here's what one researcher said. Some guy named Bryson, I don't know who he is, but this is what he said. When anyone makes seven friends in a church, he or she is not likely to leave that church. Seven friends. So it's not enough to be friendly. Thank God, that's a great start. That's a great atmosphere. That's a wonderful characteristic. But you have to reach out. And that friendship has got to be extended, because we know it's not just a friendly atmosphere. There's got to be the continuation. And that's the way it works. Amen. So a genuine friend is someone who is going to take time, a call, an email, you know, whatever social media is going to work, a cup of coffee, a lunch time, whatever. You know, it doesn't have to be expensive. Doesn't have to be anything extensive. But if they sense that there is an effort to be a friend, that's what establishes them together. So to be a friend, you introduce others to the friend that sticks closer than a brother. Praise God. Now, who do we think about in Scripture when we talk about a friend?
Abraham,
sure enough. He's got that designation of being a friend of who?
God.
A friend of God. Even before the Lord said, I have called you friends, Abraham had that distinction of being called a friend of God. So, James 2 and 23, James is making reference here to Abraham, who believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. It counted because he was in that relationship. He was in that friendship. He was called the friend of God. And I like the way in Isaiah 51 and 2, the Lord talks about what he did as a result of that friendship with the Lord. And he says, Abraham, your father, Sarah that bare you. And he's talking about their lineage, their ancestry. And then notice what he says about Abraham. I called him alone. And Abraham had that response, right? He came out of Ur of the Chaldees. Where are you going? I don't know. I'm just going. And the Lord told me. And that step of faith was amazing. The Lord called him. And then he said, and blessed him. And then increased him. See, that's the divine sequence that God wants to put in every one of our lives. To call, to bless, to increase. That's the relationship that the Lord considers being a friend. And then naturally, we're going to respond and say, yes, Lord. Amen. We'll receive that blessing. We'll work to see the increase. We'll desire for the Lord to be done, or the Lord's will to be done in our lives. Amen. Jehoshaphat, in 2 Chronicles 20, faces, oh goodness, he faces annihilation. The odds are huge that they're going to get wiped out. An army is coming against them, and at one point they say, we don't know what to do. We don't have any might to come against this force. We have no way to deal with it, but our eyes are on you, Lord. Praise God. I think that's a good solution for us as well. But he looks back to the relationship again, to Abraham being the friend. Look at verse 7. Art not thou our God? This is part of their call, their plea. Oh, God, help us. Who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever. He's reminding the Lord, we're the descendants of your friend. We have that covenant of your friend. And And that's of course, what he's holding on to. Praise God. Now look at Isaiah 41 and 8, how the Lord looks at it. Here's Jehoshaphat, and we know the outcome of that. He said, the battle is the Lord's. And they had an odd battle plan. They put singers out in front. Thank God for our singers. Amen. Thank God for our musicians. I appreciate you very much and the work that you put into it. Here, an hour before service and plus every time. God bless you. Jehoshaphat likewise appreciated the singers. He put them out in front. It wasn't the swordsmen. It wasn't the spearmen. It wasn't those who had slings or anything like that. Singers, get out there. I don't know how they felt about that. Maybe their voices quavered a little bit. I don't know. But they got out there singing, and what did the Lord do? He set an ambush against those three armies that were coming against Jehoshaphat. Praise God, the power of the Lord. Isaiah 41 and 8, the Lord says, thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. The Lord doesn't forget. The Lord doesn't, oh, that didn't work out. That shoe doesn't fit. I'm going to move on. No, he remembers. He knows. Praise God. And thank God the relationship with the Lord continues to the next generation, to the next generation, to the next generation. I like that song. You've probably heard it, to their children, and to their children, and to their children. You know what song I'm referring to, the blessing? I just thank God. That's what the Lord wants to do. Amen. And thank God it continues, just like his truth, to the next generation. Thank God for that power and that blessing. And I think about the next generation. Two verses quickly pop into my mind. That his truth endureth to all generations. We talk about all the worship, all the singing. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Into his courts with praise. And that Psalm 100 ends with, his truth endureth to all generations. That's why you should sing. That's why you should rejoice. That's why you should be excited. Praise God. And then we remember Peter's message, the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. All right, Luke 15. We usually consider Luke 15 when we are talking about recovering what is lost. And thank God there's recovery, there's restoration, there's redemption, there's revival, there's renewal. I'm believing the Lord for that. Praise God. Because there's quite a few that we know represented right here tonight that need to be restored. And thank the Lord, there's restoration in Luke 15. The shepherd finds the sheep. And then who does he summon? His friends. And what do? Rejoice. Praise God. And the woman sweeps the house trying to find that coin. And she finds it. And she calls her friends. And they rejoice. And then the third example is that son who came to himself, realizing, I have messed up. I have made a mistake. I have done wrong. And he's concerned about his father. He says, I'm going to go back. I'm going to say, I'm not worthy, but I just want to be in your house. Praise God. And the father, of course, has been looking for him. He's been expecting him, been praying for him. And he says, my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And what does he do? Tells the servants, kill the fatted calf. Get a robe and put it on him. Get shoes on his feet. Get my ring on his finger. That was symbolic of power and position. Amen. We're going to celebrate. Praise God. And oh, look at verse 7 and verse 10 of that Luke 15. Guess who else is rejoicing? Guess who else is celebrating? There's joy in heaven. Praise God. The angels are rejoicing. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God that a sinner repenting has far-reaching ripples, if you will. Praise God. Amen. You teach a Bible study, you help somebody come to the Lord, you show them scripture about baptism in the name of Jesus Christ and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, and that happens in their lives, praise God. Heaven is rejoicing with you. Glory to God. Now, the elder son had a problem. He had a complaint. He had an attitude. He heard his brother was safe and sound. He wasn't happy. He wasn't glad. He was mad. He was angry. He complained to his father. You didn't let me make merry with my friends. And he should have been rejoicing instead of rejecting. But he had a problem. One commentator made a comparison of the elder son's attitude with how a group called the Pharisees reacted to some of the things that the Lord did. They murmured. They were jealous of sinners. They lacked love for sinners. They were sullen. You know, the elder son wouldn't go in. He stayed out. That's pretty ridiculous. The Pharisees have seen the sinners blessed. They're ignorant of what was happening, what was taking place. They're just angry. And they were asked to participate and so on, come on, be a part. But they claimed to be justified in their actions. And they sought to keep sinners from being blessed. They don't deserve it. They don't fast and pray like we do. They had no mercy on sinners, and they bragged on themselves. Remember the story that Jesus told about the publican and the Pharisee going on and on, listing his credentials, going through his resume, and saying how good he is. And the publican, on the other hand, just saying, crying out, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Lord commended that man more than he did the Pharisee. Well, the father answered the older son. Thank God he's got both sons home. Both sons are with him now. What a thing to rejoice about. Praise God. And he tells the son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. What a statement. What an incredible privilege. You are with me. You're not out in riotous living and making a mess of your life and your reputation and your health. You're here with me. You're in my house. And moreover, everything is at your disposal. But he hadn't received that. Thank God we can always be in the presence of the Father. And all that he desires to bless us with is available. Praise God. And Luke 15 and 32, the father again says the reason why they are rejoicing. It's right that we should make merry and be glad. Your brother was dead, and he's alive again. He was lost, and he's found. He repeats that as though he's trying to get the message across to the elder son. God help us not to be thick-headed. God help us not to have a poor attitude like that. Amen. Especially when, you know, again, that two-way street of being a friend. The Lord calls us a friend. You be a friend. Amen. and to see what the Lord would do. Now, Saul of Tarsus, he becomes the Apostle Paul. He's converted. Wow, what a conversion. What an incredible step the Lord took in his life. And how Ananias, would you call Ananias a friend of Saul of Tarsus? At least his actions, right? He was cautious. He argued with the Lord. Lord, I've heard many things about him, and they're not good. And the Lord says, he has seen a man named Ananias come to him and pray for him. So Ananias went. Praise God. And he confirmed what the Lord told him, and he confirmed to Saul of Tarsus what the Lord told him. The Lord, even Jesus, who appeared to you in the way, has sent me. Praise God. And I guess we can call Ananias a friend of God for doing what he was commanded to do. And then he quickly became a friend of Saul of Tarsus. What did he call him, by the way?
Brother.
He hasn't been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. Can't be a brother. Ananias, you're wrong. No, he's not. Come on. Come on. Okay, a little bit more amens and so on in that. Praise God. So Saul comes to Jerusalem. He wants to join himself to the disciples who were there. Remember, he'd been killing them. He'd been arresting them. He'd been torturing them. He'd been doing all kinds of bad things. And sure enough, they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. Who stepped up?
Barnabas.
Thank God for a friend. Amen. Barnabas brought him to the apostles. Acts 9:27, he declared his divine encounter. The Lord appeared to him. He has seen the Lord. The Lord has spoken to him. Praise God. And letting them know this is real. This is powerful. He's changed. And he related how he boldly preached in Damascus the name of Jesus. Praise God. So Barnabas was a friend. And then that friendship grew until Barnabas and Paul, name changed to Paul, sent to do the work for the Lord. And oh man, what power was revealed as a result of that team. Remember, they went to an island, and they spoke to the leader who was there, Sergius Paulus, and Elymas was the sorcerer. He's trying to talk Sergius Paulus out of believing, and Paul said, "You're going to be blind for a season." Bang, just like that. Now, we talk about signs and wonders. Signs and wonders we hope will be positive, will be beneficial. Sometimes God is going to show a sign and wonder with judgment. And God, help us not to be under that judgment, but to be a friend of God operating in the way that the Lord wants us to. But I hope Elymas was convinced after that. And when his vision returned, or even before his vision returned, hopefully he had a different attitude and a different purpose and a different direction. Paul and Barnabas went to Antioch, and the Bible says almost the whole city came to hear. They went to Iconium, and Paul was almost stoned there. He escaped. They went to Lystra. The crippled man leaped up and walked. Praise God. And crazy enough, they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercury. These Greek gods. Or are they Latin? Who are they? Whoever they are. It wasn't Paul and Barnabas. But then Paul did get stoned. But the disciples stood around him, and he rose up. Thank God for resurrection power. Amen. That brings healing. That's what we were claiming tonight. Amen. The Lord will raise him up. Thank God. And then came time for another missionary journey. And Barnabas and Paul again are considering, let's go back through all the churches that we established. Let's go visit them again. And Barnabas said, okay, good. Let's take John Mark. Now remember, John Mark had returned home from Pamphylia. He didn't go on the whole trip. For whatever reason, he returned home. So Paul didn't want to take him. And so they ended up having two missionary teams. Now, Luke couldn't write about both of them, so Luke follows Paul and Silas. But Barnabas and John Mark go out and do a work for the Lord. Praise God. But Barnabas was a friend to John Mark also. And whatever happened in the process of him coming to the place where Paul would write 2 Timothy 4 and 11, it was all formative. It was all, It was all made possible because there was a friend. Now, the Spirit of the Lord working, of course, the Word of God being there in John Mark's life. But Paul would eventually say, bring him along because he's profitable to me for the ministry. Took a few years, but praise God, there was a friend who came alongside and helped him to come to that point. What if he had just been forsaken? What if he had just been dropped off and left alone and not been a part of the process? But Barnabas was a friend, praise God. Paul had friends as well. In Acts 19, they wouldn't let him go into the theater there were rioting in there. They were carrying on in there. They were making all kinds of accusations. And Paul wanted to go in and talk to him, but his friend said, no, that's too much of a threat. That's a threatening place for you. And they directed him elsewhere. That's in Acts 19. Actually, in Acts 9, the Grecians, the Greek speakers, the Grecians, they were converted Jews, wanted to slay Saul of Tarsus. So his friends, the brethren, sent him to Caesarea and to Tarsus. Thank God that there were friends who would protect him, would pray for him, and would help him. So the Lord says to us, I have called you friends. That's quite a calling. He's not just talking about a name, a title. He's talking about a calling. Your calling. Paul wrote, not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble, but God hath chosen foolish things, weak things, insignificant things. Consider your calling so that no flesh can glory in his presence. Amen. Nobody can say, I did it. My qualities, my abilities, my knowledge. No, the Lord called us to be friends when he didn't have to. Praise God. But he called us. Paul called it a high calling. And he determined, I'm going to forget the things that are behind. And that would include any pleasures, any sin, any wrongdoing. But it would also include his mistakes, because he had a lot of them, didn't he? He's going to forget those things and press on. Praise God. Reaching forth to the things that are before. And that's what he was focusing on. That's what he was concentrating on, not letting his past hold him back. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Praise God. And that's what he was focused on. Okay, so real quickly, you are called to be saints with grace and peace in Romans 1:7. You have a holy calling, 2 Timothy 1 and 9. You have a heavenly calling, Hebrews 3 and 1, with all the holy brethren. You've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Praise God. 1 Peter 2 and 9. And you are called unto his eternal glory. 1 Peter 5 and 10. Praise the Lord. Now, that's a lot of calling. That's a lot of stepping into new things, great things. Praise God. I just thought of, you know, when we experience something new, it's nice to have somebody to help you with it. Pastor Greg and I were in his car when we were in Oregon just recently, and needed to take it through the car wash, so we're lined up, you know, and there's a car in front of us, and he's having trouble getting his credit card to be read, and he's fiddling around, we're visiting, not paying attention, you know, and he opens his door, and he's jabbing his card, and so on. He finally gets it, finally, and he pulls ahead, and car wash starts. So we pull up to save time. I'm going to go ahead and put my card in and be ready to go. Okay? The blower turns on. And he's just sitting there. I rolled my window down and I'm waving him on. And he backs up. And then the light comes on that says, pull forward. So he does. It says, stop. So he does, and my car wash starts on his car. And we thought, what in the world? So the blower comes on, and finally he pulls ahead, because I'd pulled up, you know, encouraging him to pull ahead. And then I got my credit card in and got it ready, and he went partway around and got out of his car. Came walking through the car wash. Good thing we hadn't pulled up enough for it to start. He comes whacking back through the car wash, and he's got some dollar bills in his hand, and he said, I think I took your time. And we wanted to say, you think? But the poor guy, he said, yo, I hadn't been to this one before, And my wife is hollering at me, and I said, that's okay, go ahead, go on. Because we wanted, the supper was probably waiting on us, we wanted to get through the car wash and get going back to the bed and breakfast we were staying at. But we've chuckled about that quite a bit. The poor guy, if a friend had been there to say, okay, just put your card in, and wait for the reader. Okay, pull it out. Now push the wash you want. You know, if a friend had been there to guide him instead of his wife yelling at him, it would have worked out a whole lot better. And you and I, same thing, right? Something you've not done before. Nice to have a friend to guide you. Oh my. Does that apply to someone brand new in this place? Yeah. Amen. God help us. God help us. Because this transition, remember how it was. This transition has got a lot of curves in it. Straight and narrow way we talk about. But boy, the devil wants to make sure you encounter a lot of curves and a lot of exits, and you have opportunity to get off the highway of holiness and back into your mess. And sometimes we took a step off, but thank God for a friend who is there to help you. Amen. Thank God for a friend. Praise God. And so in that transition, a friend, it's good to be able to step up. A friend in the faith. Praise God. We thank the Lord that there can be a friend in the faith. Praise the Lord. And be a friend that rejoices. Thank God. And Luke 15, there was a lot of rejoicing. They found the lost sheep, found the lost coin, found the lost son. Praise God. Rejoice. And thank God we can rejoice. And then rejoice with heaven when a sinner repents. Praise God. And has made that right choice and gone the right direction. Amen. And be a friend of God. That two-way. You're going to do his work. Because that's what a friend does, right? A friend helps with a chore that you might have and one that you may not understand too well, and here's a friend. Oh, yeah, I know how to change the faucet. Yeah, I know how to hang a light fixture. God bless Brother Merle for being able to do that. And praise God. A friend will step in and help with that work. Praise God. And so, we understand that recognition. Now, there's a warning in the scripture about a friend, James 4 and 4. And boy, it's real strong. A real strong warning there. You adulterers and adulteresses. That's not a way to win friends and influence people, but it sure gets your attention. Because the Lord looked on idolatry as spiritual adultery, spiritually moving away from the realm where you needed to be. And if you're going to be a friend of the world, you're on dangerous ground. A friend of the world, now I'm not talking about the outreach aspect, the evangelism aspect, the inviting people to the house of the Lord. A friend of the world, meaning you're going along with what this world stands for. You know, the cosmos, the attitudes of society and culture and so on that wants to leave Jesus Christ out of everything, use his name in vain, mock and make fun and want to discredit this book. You know why? Because this book is what talks about innocent lives, which is against abortion. This book talks about lifestyles that are against male and female coming together in a lifetime of marriage. And so, we'll do away with this book. So we're not being a friend in that aspect of that culture, that society, that attitude. We're not being a friend of the world because we don't want to be an enemy of God. And it puts it out that clear in that verse, James 4 and 4. I mean, there's no mistaking what is being said there. So the challenge is to step up. I'm going to be a friend of God because he's called me a friend. Praise God. Stand with me, please. Wow, that's quite a statement. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's what he did, didn't he? You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Oh, strings attached. That's pretty much what comes with friendship. Yep. You're going to be asked to do things. You're going to ask your friends to do things. It goes with being a friend. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends. And the implication is, you know. You know, and commandments have something to do with that. All the things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. The knowledge that he imparts to us based on his word. Thank God. Let's come to pray here for a few minutes. I don't want to forget Abraham as being a friend of God, and all that he enjoyed. You know, it's amazing that the Lord titles himself, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am. Praise God. One of the first instances of that use of that title, of that reality, of that power. Amen. So obviously, pretty strong statement the Lord is making there in identifying Abraham. And if Abraham can be in that relationship of a man of prayer, a man of principle, a man of promise, a man who is walking with God, and all of that of Abraham. Now, and Abraham made mistakes. We know that too. But the Lord again and again says, Abraham, my friend. Abraham, the friend of God. Thank the Lord we're able to walk into that relationship and live in that relationship as well. Praise God. Not just, you know, there's no punch cards back there. There's no clock for you to clock in. I'm in church. Clock out and go live however you want. That doesn't work that way, we know. Amen. But it's the relationship that we have with the Lord. Can we give the Lord praise right now for that? Amen. And know that the Lord will bless and provide for us as we understand that grow in that friendship. Thank you, Lord God.